was free to go. All the charges had been dropped, and he said, I walked home. If you need a right now miracle, a dead situation to come to life, join Apostle Broadnax and myself in the prayer chamber on tonight, Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, and 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All you have to do is call area code 318-754-0001. And once you are in the prayer chamber, you press *5 on your telephone keypad. That raises your hand up for prayer. One word from God can change your destiny. Join us tonight and watch what God does.
We thank you for tuning in to today's program, and we invite you to be with us the next time for another Master Key program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Until the next time, God bless and keep you and yours.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Thank you for joining us today for Joyful with Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Now let's go to the Word.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. Thank you. God been so good to us. Hallelujah. Put a smile on our face, Genesis, even when you don't feel like smiling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Treat your enemies right. It'll do all that, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, everybody. So good to be in the house one more time. I don't know about you, but I look, when I come into the house, I come expecting something. Because I don't want to leave out the same way I came. Hallelujah. All right, I got a surprise for y'all today. All right. All right, I'm coming from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Told you, this is a three-part thing. I don't know what God coming up with next. I didn't expect this, but I don't have no choice but to preach. This is not my thing. This is God's thing. And I'm doing his thing. Because I'm being blessed by what he doing. Hallelujah. He wake me up every morning. Thank you, Jesus. And not only that, though, he allowed me to be close in my right mind, Genesis. And not only that, Genesis, he allowed me to just see you this morning. And wave at you this morning. And shake my leg this morning. He did that. Hallelujah. So I praise him. Like Pastor said, I don't need no help. Too good to me to worry about whether or not you praising him. I praise him in my room. I praise him in my bedroom, my bathroom.
Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead,
let me go.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 4. Y'all got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I'm ready for this. I'm ready. And I pray to God it bless somebody's soul on the day. Because it sure blessed me. Like Sister Jackie sent me a message. I meant it, but it's a time, a set time for everything. So we're going to take care of that other later. Sister Tina, Sister Jackie, Sister Camille. Boy, if y'all just get up here, Sister Shalay, and add to this praise team, the walls are blessed out. It just blew up. I mean, it'll come down. Jackie, I don't hear you say nothing. I don't expect to hear you say nothing. But I'm telling you what the Spirit of the Lord said. So don't get mad with me. All right, Sister Jackie? Praise the Lord. Beginning at verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, we're talking to Christians, church folks, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The topic is be encouraged in the face of death. Father God, I come as humbly as I know how, lifting you up and magnifying your holy name, because God, you are the ruler, provider, and sustainer of our lives, and we worship and magnify you on this day, God. Father God, we came in with praises in our mouths. We came in with hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and we just lifting that all up to you, God, because you are so good. So, Father God, I decrease that you may increase in me with miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Remember when I preached on last month, I said that this was a three-part series. Now, this last month I talked on watch and be ready. And that came out of Matthew 24:42-44, where Jesus is speaking of his coming. And he also used Noah and his family in the ark as a warning to us today, letting us know that you will not know the day, the hour, the month, the year when he's coming back. So that's why he said just watch and be ready. Amen. And Jesus also used Noah as being a picture of the church, which is a rapture before the tribulation. So that's why we're sticking with this right here. Usually, this is what, and I'm always doing this scripture. Somebody asked me to speak, I encourage them with 1 Thessalonians 4, because it's an encouragement for those that have passed. Now, 1 Thessalonians was Paul's earliest New Testament letter, because it started in Acts 17. And the two letters to Thessalonians gives a setting for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And I'm going to try not to go too fast, because we really need to understand this. I don't want to try to confuse you, but we need to understand. We're living in a time that we don't know what's going to happen. We're living in a time that we don't know whether Jesus come today. But what he's telling us to do is watch and be ready. And then while you watching and being ready, be encouraged. Don't be scared. Be encouraged when you come in the face of death. Amen. So here it is. It was Paul, Silas, and Timothy visit the city of the on their second missionary journey. But see, persecution forced Paul to leave early. And so when he left early, then Paul sent Timothy back there to the church to help out. And when Timothy rejoined Paul, he brought good news and bad news. You know, sometimes we got good news and we got bad news. The good news was that the Thessalonians was faithful while they was being persecuted. You know, a lot of times when we've been persecuted, we're ready to throw in the towel or say, I'm not taking none of this. But they stayed faithful. Now, these are new Christians. They just got into it. So for them to stand up against the persecution, older Christians have sometimes a problem with that. So, but here they are, was new Christians in it, amen? And the bad news was their failure to completely break away from their old ways. Ha, that's another thing we do. We don't break away. We break away from some things, but we don't break away from it all. So when you God know what you need to break away with and everything that you need to break away. So you're not fooling him. You're fooling yourself. And when he say break away or stop doing what you've been doing, that's exactly what he mean. Amen. And it explains more in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians verses 1 through 8 that says they were still looking at death and bereavement as others look at it. Amen. So by writing to them, Paul thought, say, you know, his intentions was to advise them to away from grieving excessively when someone passed. And that's why the Apostle Paul in verse 13 said to the Thessalonians, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren. He don't want you ignorant when it comes to concerning the one that have passed on. Amen. He said there are some things which we cannot be ignorant of because we don't know it all. In other words, there are some things that are unknown that we'll never know until Jesus come back again. But then on the other hand, he said there is no reason why we should be ignorant of those that have died in Christ. Because the reason why that, because those that are asleep refers to Christians who have died and whose spirits is in heaven. So the Thessalonians problems was they was worried about, we worry about too much thing that belongs to God. And so they was worried about what's going to happen to those that have already went on. You know, those, their family and their friends. What's going to happen to them when Jesus come back? So Paul went on to explain that to the Thessalonians, death is not the end of the story. And that's when Christ returned, all believers, not some, but all believers that are alive will be reunited and would never suffer and die again. I don't know about this good news. Amen. They also did not understand how the resurrection of Christians who had already died relate to the catching up of living Christians at the coming of Christ. See, they was worried about all of that. And so that limit their understanding, the reason why we should not, you know, we should have hope in the death of a loved one. We should act like there's no hope. If that person is in Christ Jesus, there's hope. Amen. And then they start worrying about those dying before Christ's return for the church and whether or not they was going to be resurrected at a later date. You see all their concerns. But then Paul told them, just think about the concern that you know that if they died in Christ, they shall live again. Amen. So Paul went on to explain that the dead in Christ should rise at the same time when the as the living, everybody gonna rise up. It may be in different intervals, but everybody gonna rise up. And the faith of the church and everybody at that particular time. Now, I can't say what order is coming, because we won't know that until the time comes. So Paul understood that the way they were thinking is as if they didn't have no hope. All right. Man. So that's why he started off in the end of verse 13 and said, don't sorrow or grieve as others which have no hope. Because the unbelievers have no hope because they have not put their trust in Jesus Christ. And yes, Christians do grieve over the loss of their loved one. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's a normal human experience, which even Jesus shared in chapter 11 in John, verse 35, said he wept. So if he wept, why can't we weep? Amen. So when my little girl passed, it brought me back to that. She did not die in the hospital, nor did she pass in her own bed. But instead,